ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय एतद्वारो हि संसारो एतद्वारो हि संसारो गुणकर्म निबन्धनः गुणकर्म निबन्धनः अज्ञानमूलो पार्थोऽपि अज्ञानमूलो पार्थोऽपि पुंसा स्वप्न इन्वार्प्यते पुंसा स्वप्न इवार्प्यते एतद्वारो हि संसारो गुणकर्म निबन्धनः अज्ञानमूलो पार्थोऽपि पुंसा स्वप्न इवाप्यते एतद्वारो हि संसारो गुणकर्म निबन्धनः अज्ञानमूलो पार्थोऽपि पुंसा स्वप्न इवार्प्यते एतद्वारो हि संसारो गुणकर्म निबन्धनः अज्ञानमूलो पार्थोऽपि पुंसा स्वप्न इवार्प्यते एतद्वारो हि संसारो गुणकर्म निबन्धनः अज्ञानमूलो पार्थोऽपि पुंसा स्वप्न इवार्प्यते एतद्वारो हि संसारो गुणकर्म निबन्धनः अज्ञानमूलो पार्थोऽपि पुंसा स्वप्न इवार्प्यते एतद्वारो हि संसारो Ladies, etad this dvaraha whose door he indeed samsaraha material existence in which one suffers threefold miseries guna karma nibandhanaha captivation by the three modes of material nature. Agyana mulaha, whose root is ignorance. Apartaha, without factual meaning. Api, even. Pumsaha, of the living entity. Svapnaha, a dream. Eva, like. Arpyate, is placed. Translation. Through polluted intelligence, one is subjected to the modes of nature, and thus one is conditioned by material existence. Like a dreaming state in which one falsely suffers material existence, which is due to ignorance, must be considered unwanted and temporary. Responsively, please repeat. Through polluted intelligence, one is subjected to the modes of nature, and thus one is conditioned by material existence. Like a dreaming state in which one falsely suffers material existence, which is due to ignorance, must be considered unwanted and temporary. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The unwanted condition of temporary life is called ignorance. One can very easily understand that the material body is temporary, for it is generated at a certain date and ends at a certain date. After undergoing the six kinds of change, namely birth, death, growth, maintenance, transformation, and dwindling, this condition of the eternal soul is due to his ignorance, and although it is temporary, it is unwanted. Because of ignorance, one is put into temporary bodies, one after another. The spirit soul, however, does not need to enter in such temporary bodies. He does so only due to his ignorance or his forgetfulness of Krishna. Therefore, in the human form of life, when one's intelligence is developed, one should change his consciousness by trying to understand Krishna. Then one can be liberated. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 9, where the Lord says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tattvataha tattva deham purna janma nati mam iti sarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Unless one understands Krishna and comes to Krishna consciousness, one must continue in material bondage. To end this conditional life, one must surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, that is demanded by the Supreme Lord. Swadharmam prityaja mamekam saranam brajam. As advised by Maharaj Rishabdev, Nasaru manye yata atmanoyam asanapi kleshida asadeha. One must be intelligent enough to understand that although one's body is temporary and will not endure for long. As long as one has a body, he must undergo the pangs of material existence. Therefore, if by good association, by the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, one takes to Krishna consciousness, his conditional life of material existence is vanquished, and his original consciousness, known as Krishna consciousness, is revived. When one is Krishna conscious, he can realize that material existence, whether one is awake or dreaming, is nothing but a dream and has no factual value. This realization is possible by the grace of the Supreme Lord. This grace is also present in the form of the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is for everyone to engage in welfare activities to awaken the foolish living entity, especially in human society, so that he may come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and benefit by liberation from conditional life. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya cites the following verses. Dukkha rupo pi saṃsāro buddhipurvam avapyate yatha svapna chirascedham svayam krit vātmano vasaha tato dukkham avapyata tata jagrito pitu janan napi atmano dukkham avashastu pravartate. One must realize that the material condition of life is full of distresses. One can realize this with purified intelligence. When one's intelligence is purified, he can understand that unwanted, temporary, material life is just like a dream. Just as one suffers pain when his head is cut off in a dream, in ignorance one suffers not only while dreaming, but also while awake. Without the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one continues in ignorance and is thus subjected to material distresses in various ways. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militen Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Etat Varo Hisangsaro Gunakarma Nibandanaha Ajnanamulo Partopi Pungsa Swapna Efarpyate. So all living entities are born in this material world in different ways. Some are born through the womb. Some are born by the egg. Some are born through sweat, Srila Prabhupada says. So they come and they get a material body. That body grows through the presence of the living entity. Without the presence of the living entity, the body cannot grow. Unlike the material scientists' conclusion who say that due to a combination of chemicals, there's life in the body. But Srila Prabhupada argues that in the dead body, all the chemicals are there. Why is the life not there? Why is the body not showing signs of consciousness. So an intelligent person concluded, because the soul is not present, or we understand from Vedic literature, because the body is no longer conscious because there's no soul. What gave the body consciousness? The presence of the soul. Likewise, the whole universe is acting due to the consciousness of the super soul. But although the soul is eternal, nahanyatane hanyamani sarire, the soul is never killed. Only the body can be killed. Still, due to identifying with the material body, the living entity goes through different changes. Birth, death, Prabhupada says, growth. First, you have a baby body, then you have a child's body, and they send you off to school, whether you like it or not. I can remember sometimes I didn't want to go to school, so I would lay in the bed, then my mother would come in to wake me up and say, my stomach hurts. And she said, okay, you stay home today. And then I'd be there and I'd open one eye and see if she was there, and she left. But we didn't want to go to school. Did anybody want to go to school? Did you get up in the morning, I'm going to school today? I didn't. I had to go to school. Forced to. And then, as you get older, you have your friends, And when you were small, you did whatever your mother and father told you. But when you get older and you get your friends, then you never do what your mother and father told you, because your friends know better. So this is growth, changing. Body's changing. Mentality is changing. Then you get married. You have some byproducts. It's like a lemon tree has so many lemons. That's the byproducts of the lemon tree. Thousands and thousands of lemons. It's a byproduct. It's what lemon trees do. They give off byproducts. So, a person gets married, they also have some byproducts called children. Some byproducts are there. And then the dwindling starts. The body begins to dwindle. The eyes don't see so well. The ears don't hear so well. Brain starts to forget things. Like Dina Bandhu Prabhu says, we get three legs instead of two legs. Dwindle. That's the nature. It's everything. It's for the human body. It's there for plants. You just look in the nature of a plant. It grows, for some time. And as soon as it gives off its flowers, and it goes to seed, then it begins to dwindle. Just like Tulsi Maharani. Of course, it's not a mundane plant. She's a pure devotee. But she still has that. If you let her go to seed, she begins to dwindle. If you clip the manjaris before she goes to seed and offer them to the lotus feet of Krishna, she stays full, And that's the nature of this world that we live in and the body that we have. So along with the dwindling comes disease, old age, death. And what Srila Prabhupada's mentioning here, because of ignorance, one is put into temporary material bodies. So what is that ignorance? Due to ignorance, right? Generally we think, well, how can you say I'm ignorant? I got a PhD. I can't be ignorant. I got an MA. I went to IIT or MIT or Harvard or Stanford. I got a certificate. I'm not in ignorance. Right? But we do have a certificate of our ignorance. And that certificate is that we have a material body. That's our certificate. Somehow or another, we could not realize that we're the eternal spirit soul. And when we left this world in our last body, we thought of some shelter in a material sense. Some material shelter we thought of. Whatever it was. You know? The wife thinks of her husband. The husband thinks of his wife. Right? So the husband becomes a lady. The lady becomes a man. Right? Our children. Our something. Our bank balance. Some material shelter. So because we thought of some material shelter, not understanding our real identity as eternal spirit soul, again we took birth in another material body. So Prabhupada says the spirit soul doesn't need to enter such material bodies. They don't need it. If you had your choice to not have a material body, or to have a material body, what would you take? The conditioned living entity would always take a material body. Right? So, he doesn't really get to choose what kind of body he gets. Right? It's not in our hand. Well, I think I'll take, you know, a body from Japan, or I'll take a body from America. By the nature picks. Right? But we give, you know, we surrender to the material nature, and the material nature makes the arrangement. But here Prabhupada is saying we don't need, but we get due to ignorance. Right? We get due to ignorance, and so what is that ignorance? That ignorance is, Srila Prabhupada mentions, forgetfulness of Krishna. It's also kind of, you know, manifests itself in different ways, forgetfulness of Krishna. Right? But the material body is one of the major manifestations of our inability or our unwillingness to think of Krishna. Right? Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoviti tattvataha takpaniha punan janma nati mamanisinorjuna. Right? Just think, you know, understand about me. My birth's transcendental, my activities are transcendental. How they're transcendental, Krishna says. And you don't have to take birth again in the material world. Krishna says, unless we understand Krishna and how and about Krishna, unless we understand his transcendental nature, Unless we develop Krishna consciousness, then we have to continue in material bondage. And for some people that may be okay. They say, well, you know, life is not, it's not that bad. You people are just negative. You Hare Krishnas are negative. Life is, it's beautiful. Life is beautiful, right? You just have to go into that, into yourself and find out the child within you. So that, you know, because like when you're a child, you see this spider web and you just become enamored by a spider web, you know? And it's only due to the fact that there's conditioning from your elders and from your others that these unwanted expectations come upon you. And that you see things negatively. But if you just go into your inner self, your childhood self, you become innocent again and you see the world in a new light. So don't be so negative. It's not that bad. Do we go along with that philosophy? Does Krishna agree with that? This is called the California touchy-feely philosophy. Right? The land of fruits and nuts. Yeah, so many of them. Now, this material world is a very dangerous place. It's filled with all kinds of sufferings. We're eternal. We're eternal. But we're forced to die. We're full of knowledge. But we have to go to Harvard to get a certificate to say that we got knowledge. We're filled with knowledge. We're filled with bliss. But let anyone come up and tell us something and our bliss is gone in a second. Hey, kya? Tere baap ka gaadi hai? Gone. Your mind takes off like a cricket ball hit with the cricket bat. Right? Suffering. We're so controlled by everything that comes around us. But we're Satchidananda. We're filled with knowledge, filled with bliss and ananda. Ananda. But we get overcome by passion, ignorance. They capture us. We're trying to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Caught. Right? Caught by passion. Right? What is that passion? You know, sometimes we think the three modes of material nature are for the karmis. They're passionate. They're ignorant. We're devotees. Right? I'm a devotee. I'm a devotee. In the St. Louis Temple, we used to have this pot washer guy. I don't know, Sordas was the temple president in those days. I wasn't really in the temple, but I used to come and visit St. Louis when Sordas. He had this pot washer. His name was Paul. But he used to drink a lot. He used to just come in and do some service and go. So Paul, even though he was drinking, he used to say, I'm a devotee. But it doesn't mean that we're not affected by the modes, right? We are affected, right? We get caught in endeavoring very hard for some position or some recognition in a material sense. are due to not being fully Krishna conscious. We get caught up in some fighting, some quibbling, some argument, right? But we should know this is the modes. Right? If we can't stay awake in the Bhagavatam class, it's the mode of ignorance capturing us. Right? So what's the solution? The solution to become free from guna karma nibandhana. Guna means the three modes. Right? And the activities that go along with the three modes of material nature, guna, karma, nibandhana, right? Is to become Krishna conscious. So it's a very simple thing. You become Krishna conscious, then you understand that I am the eternal spirit soul, different from the body. Right? The non-devotees, they can go on life after life and never understand. They can study Bhagavad Gita and give their commentary. But if they're not Krishna conscious, they won't come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. They won't understand that they're the eternal spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. We're part of Krishna. We're part of Him. We're with Him because we're part of Him. Conditioned life means I'm separate from Him. I am something to do with this material world, whatever it is. Right? Being Krishna conscious means that I'm part of Krishna. I'm connected to Krishna. The qualities that Krishna has, I also have. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, if you want to know about Krishna, study yourself, because you're part of Him. The natures that we have, why do we have them? Because we're part of Krishna. Prabhupada mentions here that one must be intelligent to understand. So what does it mean? There's two kinds of intelligence. There's material intelligence and there's spiritual intelligence. Material intelligence operates in the idea of sense gratification, right? And spiritual intelligence operates in relationship with understanding Krishna. Right? So, in material life, spiritual intelligence is either not there or very weak. Weak spiritual intelligence. Right? Basically, one needs to have a determination to increase their spiritual IQ. Right? You can be a devotee. You can wear tilak. You can have kanti mala. You can have bead bag. You can get in line for prasadam. But not be focused on increasing one's spiritual intelligence. Right? We may be, we focused on something else. Could be very much focused on something else. So, just like in anything in life, you have to set a goal. Like if you go to college, the goal is to get your diploma. You focus on that. You don't do other things. Right? You sacrifice other things. Going to the a cricket match or watching TV, or you sacrifice those things so that you can focus on getting your diploma. So what's the goal of Krishna consciousness? What is our goal? Our goal is Goloka. That's a pretty good goal. But it's, don't you think it's a pretty lofty goal? Yes, Krishna Prema. That's nice. Krishna Prema. What does that mean, Krishna Prema? Radharani has Krishna Prema. Right? Mother Yashoda, she has Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema. We're, if you think about it, we're pretty far off from that, isn't it? Pretty far away. So how to, you know, they say you should set realistic goals. Is it realistic? From a material point of view, absolutely not. If you analyze where you are, if we analyze where our hearts are and what they're hankering after, we don't have what they say in America, a snowball's chance in hell, right? Did you get that? I don't think so. It's all right. I'm not going to explain it. But that's the goal. That's Lord Chaitanya's mission, is to see that everyone is freely distributed Krishna Prema. Right? Krishna Prema. So, how to get there? Well, it starts off with realizing this material world is a really miserable place. Okay? You have to be convinced of that. You can't slip it, we can't slip into, which we do often, into this, well, it's not so bad. You know, there's mountains. There's mountains to climb. There's oceans to cross. It's not too bad. But no. When you get to the top of the mountain, then what? Right? You got to struggle to get back down. You can't stay up there anyway. Not a nice place. Regardless of what our conditioning says, we can't enjoy here. It's miserable. It's miserable. Right? Even though in Bombay the heat and the humidity are not there right now, just remember, they're coming. And you'll be sweating your brains out in not so long a time. It's a miserable place, right? Everybody's trying to get ahead of everybody else. You know, and you get that more when you drive in India than any other place. People are cutting you off. You know, it's just a few inches, but they're right there to cut you off. Sometimes I tell the drivers, you know, if you did that in New York, a guy would pull out a gun and shoot you. Road rage. We're just trying to, you know, everybody's so tensed up to get ahead, to get to the light before the other guy. And what's the use? Y'all get to the light, y'all have to wait till the light turns green anyway. What's the tension? That's the nature of the world. It just generates tension. Passion. And then after all week long of being in so much tension to get ahead, what do? When they get some time off? Go into the mode of ignorance and try to forget everything. If you can't do that on your own, become in a potato couch somewhere. They get intoxication so that they can forget everything. And that's their life. They go from tension, high tension, you know, like the high tension, high voltage, to ignorance. And that's life. But it's not life. It's not real life. Real life is with Krishna in the spiritual world. But we can't appreciate that with our ignorant mentality. And even if we are devotees, we still get caught up in ignorance. We get attracted by the glitter. Right? Confused. Therefore, we have this daily Srimad Bhagavatam class so that we can understand things as they are, really are, and we stay focused. You know, once I asked a devotee, "So, you think we can go back to Godhead in this lifetime?" And the devotee said, "Are you kidding me? Back to Godhead? I'm just shooting for the heavenly planets." Well, you know, Srila Prabhupada used to say, if you shoot for the rhino, you know, if you can actually do it, then this is a great thing. And if you don't get it, people say, well, it was such a big goal. Right? Shoot for the rhino. So let us not become bewildered. Why have we joined the Krishna consciousness movement? It's simply for one thing. To go back home, back to Godhead, to be with Krishna. And guess what? We don't have to wait to do that till we die. It's just a moment away from us. Moment to moment, it's right there. We just have to take it. Every second there's a choice to think of Krishna or not think of Krishna. Unfortunately, out of all the seconds in the day, mostly 99.9% of the time, we're choosing not to think of Krishna. So therefore, we have various engagements in relationship to Krishna, whatever that may be, so that we can actively do those services. But ultimately, we're doing it for Him, for Krishna. And as we become purified, we realize that. Not in the beginning. In the beginning, we just like to do the service for the sake of doing the service. Right? We enjoy that. Like if someone knows if somebody's a good talker, they can sell a book, get some money out of the guy, and it's kind of fun, right? Devotees used to change up people, which wasn't probably a good idea, but it's something they used to do, right? Give the guy the book, explain to him about Krishna consciousness, the guy agrees to give a donation. So the devotee would say, "You know, I got a lot of ones. Can I give you change for the 20? And the guy would say, he's looking in his wallet, right? What to give. And he says, he gives him the 20. And then the devotee says, gives him $2 back and says, "Is that enough?" And the guy, you know, some timid guy will say, "Yeah, I guess so." But he's walking away thinking, "Wow, I didn't want to give $18. But he did. So, you know, the devotee got on. That's kind of fun to do for a little while, you know. But then, you know, it doesn't really leave people with a good taste. Right? After a while, it comes back on you. Like, you know, six big guys come and
drowns.
That's happened too.
Chipperari, the first time he went out on Sankirtan, he went to a football game. He had Back to Godhead magazine, and he was saying, "Program, program." And selling, he was sold a lot of magazines. But, you know, six guys came back later to beat him up when they saw it wasn't the program. So he stopped doing that. So in the beginning, just doing the service itself brings happiness. But ultimately, everything is relationship, right? It's all about a relationship. You can establish a relationship with a person in just a few minutes. They relate to you. They become friendly. Right? And for your friend, you can do anything. Right? Somebody you don't know comes and asks you for a loan, you'll be reluctant. But if your friend says, "Hey, give me $5. No problem. Here." So it's all about relationship. Everything is based on relationship. Krishna consciousness means developing a relationship with Krishna. And once that relationship is there, once it's properly established, then we're no longer in ignorance. We're in knowledge. We understand that we're not this body. We understand that we're part of Krishna, part and parcel of Krishna, meant to serve Krishna. We understand that this world is just a dream. Just like we dream at night being chased by a tiger and we wake up, we're in anxiety. Right? There was some result to that dream. In the same way, this material world is—it's just a dream. Right? It's a longer dream than the nighttime dream, but it's still just a dream. But in material consciousness, affected by the modes of material nature, we can't understand that. That's what this verse is saying, is that one who's in the modes, conditioned by material existence, they can't understand that this world is just a dream. By practicing Krishna consciousness, by engaging in service for the pleasure of Krishna and Krishna's devotee, we come to understand it's all just a dream. And that, just like when you wake up, you had some horrible dream, and then you realize, wait a minute, that was just a dream. It's not real. In the same way, when you're fully awake and so many things are happening, you know, so many things are happening, and you know, we all know things happen, right? Things happen. But you'll be able to deal with all those things happening because you know it's just a dream. And the real thing that's happening in the beginning is your sadhana with Krishna. And later as you develop, it's your relationship with Krishna. You know he's your friend. You know he's your master. You know he's your well-wisher. You know he's there to protect you. You know he's there to give you good advice. You have that relationship. So that's the positive thing that's awaiting those sincere practitioners of the process of devotional service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Comments? Yes?
Hare Krishna. How is this? the translation by Srila Prabhupada. In the starting he says, through polluted intelligence. So how does that intelligence get polluted?
The intelligence becomes polluted by contact with the material nature, by contact with the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Just like if you come in contact, the water comes down from the sky. It's pure. The rainfall. But as soon as the rain hits the earth, it becomes polluted by mixing with the earth. Right? You would consider to drink rainwater, but you wouldn't consider to drink it after it's mixed with dust and dirt. Why? Because it's not pure water anymore. So originally, intelligence is a pure concept, but when it becomes mixed with the modes of material nature, it becomes polluted. Pure intelligence is intelligence that considers it's coming from Krishna. Everything is coming from Krishna. Nirmama. Nothing is mine. Pure intelligence. Even though Maharaj Ambarish was the emperor of the whole world, he had pure intelligence. He was fixed in Nirmama. He realized that everything is belonging to Krishna. That's pure intelligence. You understand? But by coming in contact with the material modes, passion, ignorance, right? The intelligence becomes polluted. This is mine. My whatever it is. My marbles. My cricket bat, my diploma, my business, my cane, my funeral. You know, it's just keeps changing, but it's mine, you know. By reawakening our Krishna consciousness, the polluted intelligence can again become purified. Just like you take the muddy water. If you run it through the cheesecloth or through a ceramic candle, you can separate the mud from the water and again it becomes pure. So you can say, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram is the ceramic candle that purifies our polluted intelligence so that it again becomes pure.
Praji, what you said is one aspect. But here it Prabhupada says that through polluted intelligence, one is subjected to the modes of nature. What you explained is...
when does your consciousness actually become polluted? The moment you decide, Prabhupada says, Krishna's enjoying. I could enjoy like that. Misuse of your fragmental independence. That's when it all starts to become polluted. But then it interacts with the modes of material nature. That's just a, you know, change of our consciousness. But then interacting with the different modes and further complicates the original misconception. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Yes? Sundar Chaitanya Prabhu.
Krishna. Thank you very much for your class.
Hare Krishna.
You are telling that how we are ignorant. So it's very difficult for a conditioned soul to actually accept that reality, because
it's very difficult for us to accept that we're ignorant. You're right. But it's true. Believe it or not, we are ignorant. Even though we may have so many letters behind our names, we still got the certificate, material body. We're ignorant of the fact that we're part and parcel of Krishna, we're the servant of Krishna, we're not this body, we're spirit souls. We're ignorant. A person doesn't think he's ignorant, just like a person doesn't think they're suffering. You go to any hospital, the guy's got his leg in traction, he was in a terrible motorcycle accident, got one of those braces on his neck. "Well, John, how you doing?" "I'm okay." Right? But somebody with a little, "John, what are you talking about? You're in brace and a neck, you're in traction, you broke every bone in your body. How are you okay?" So that we get covered over. And it's called cognitive dissonance in psychology. We just kind of, the mind adjusts for things. It's not so bad. Could be worse. Right? It's called cognitive dissonance. Right? A guy sees a beautiful girl. She's all by herself. And the guy thinks, "Wow, she's really good looking." Right? Another girl comes, just as beautiful, but she's with a big burly guy as her boyfriend. She don't look so good anyway. It's called cognitive dissonance. Right? The mind's very powerful. Very powerful. It's Krishna's material energy. It's his material energy. It's way more powerful than we think. But there's another powerful energy that's there too, and that's Krishna. Nobody's as powerful as Krishna. It's his energy. He controls it. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachanam. We should have faith in that. That Krishna is more powerful than Maya. And the onus is on me to get in touch with Krishna. Then Maya can't touch me. Then I'll be beyond the ignorance. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, the devotee chants Hare Krishna like a child crying out for its mother. Right? We're in this ignorance. We're in this suffering condition. Due to that ignorance, we're identifying with all the miseries of material existence. How to get out of it? Only by feelingly chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Or you can chant Hare Krishna while you're playing rock and roll. It works too, right? When I first became a devotee, I met the devotees at a rock festival. It was called Kickaboo Creek. The devotees from Detroit, I learned later, Bhagawan and Narottamananda, they came to Kickaboo Creek. So they gave me a mantra card. And it said, chant this mantra and your life will be sublime. I didn't even know what sublime meant then, you know. But I kept it in my wallet and just forgot about it for about a year. And then at some point, I remember that I used to keep phone numbers on it, you know. I pulled that out and it was really
was really suffering part of my life, and it was totally confused about what should be done and what should not be done. So I got that, and it says, look, it says here, chant Hare Krishna, and your life will be sublime. By that time, I figured it out, what sublime meant. So I began to chant. But my association was, you know, with people that listen to rock and roll and all these modern songs. Right? But instead of those lyrics, I would put in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to so many different songs that I liked. And that's how I got started. You know, instead of Johnny Be Good, I was chanting Hare Krishna. So then, I started to meet devotees. Krishna sent devotees in my life, and I got association. And then the next thing you know, I was in the temple. So, however you do it, if you really think about it, it all has to do with just getting association with Krishna, somehow or another. That's why Srila Prabhupada started this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, was to give people that association. And the more we try to give, the more we get in return. There's never a shortage. There's only an abundance of Krishna consciousness. If we want. Is that all right?
Hare Krishna. As you said that, Prabhupada asked the question that we are in ignorance and we don't come to know. But when we connect to Krishna consciousness and we become the practitioners of this process, after a while, for some time it goes good and some purification takes place. And then after some time we realize, okay, there is some, you know, we realize slight that we are in ignorance. We try to overcome also by using this process. But then another wave of illusion comes and we start feeling that I can do the process. Prabhupada has given this process. I can sit anywhere and chant. I don't need to associate with devotees. It's too far. It is so time consuming. So better I am at my place and do my own process. So that feeling of dependence is not developing. So how to develop that feeling of dependence?
In the beginning, Krishna may give you some taste. Krishna may give you some enthusiasm, some feeling of relief from material suffering, right? And after a while, we think, you know, as we go along in devotional service, we think, well, I've been a devotee for about 10 years now, and I know all the devotees, and I know everybody knows me, and I know all the devotees. But I'm not getting that taste like I was when I was a new bhakta. I was really feeling exhilarated then. What happened? Right? Well, Krishna, he tests his devotees. Krishna, you know, makes a point to test us. One thing is that he never makes the test so hard that we can't pass it. But Krishna does test us. He tests us, and we have to make that concerted effort to pass the test. You know, the problem is, just like you stated, we, you know, make the effort to pass the test. We pass the test, and then we start thinking, oh yeah, I know this Krishna consciousness. I can, you know, we set ourselves up again to flunk, fail, by being egotistic. Right? Krishna doesn't like his devotees to be egotistical. But he's so kind, he makes arrangements for them
to get rid of their ego. And the famous story in the Krishna book of an egotistical devotee that Krishna went out of his way to cure. Can you tell me which story that is? Yeah, he's got his hand up right over there, the red shirt. Who is it? The story from the Krishna book? The jewel. Well, I was more thinking of a different one, yeah? Indra, the king of the demigods. Krishna made the whole Leela of Govardhan just to cut the pride of Indra. Not that he didn't like Indra, right? He's always killing Indra's enemies, right? But at that point, Indra's enemy was his pride. And Krishna decided to kill it. And I think he did a pretty good job. What do you think? Huh? So if Krishna's kind to his devotees, he always makes that arrangement, cut their pride. Because if we're proud, we can't be with Krishna. That's the reason why we left Krishna in the first place, is due to our pride. So if he's very, very kind upon you, he'll make arrangements where, you know, you feel despondent. You feel like, well, I'm just going nowhere in Krishna consciousness. And that's his mercy. So that you have to depend on him more to get anywhere. Is that okay? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Nitai Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Hari Vah.